We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
It's 2:45. Six people with diverse backgrounds came together for the first time yesterday at the University of Illinois Urbana campus and left their meeting as members of the school's Board of Trustees. The goal for them and their fellow members is reforming admissions, and another one, deciding if the current university leadership can guide that process. AM 580's Jeff Bosser reports.
The first item of business for the newly reconstituted Board of Trustees was electing a chairman. The second was approving an admissions reform resolution. It eliminates the so-called Category I list of politically favored applicants and creates a code of conduct meant to insulate admissions officers from unwarranted influence. Overseeing the votes was among the first responsibilities for new board chair Chris Kennedy.
The motion carries, and we put a sorry chapter behind us, and we move forward together. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think we'll give that a round of applause.
Among those voting was ex officio member Governor Pat Quinn, who led the effort to reform admissions by appointing the State Admissions Review Commission this summer. Quinn says the university's resolution mirrored the wishes of that panel.
Implementing the reforms is really the test, and I think we need to take a look at this school year and make sure everything is done right. I think having the new process in place right from the get-go is very important for the university and for everyone who applies to the university.
Quinn would not say whether he thought U of I President Joseph White and Urbana Chancellor Richard Herman should step down. Kennedy says getting the admissions item out of the way first allows the new trustees to focus on university leadership. And the new chairman says he'll take the necessary time to review what took place on the Urbana campus.
I'm convinced I don't know everything. And I'm convinced that I'm going to know everything before I make up my mind. And there's nothing anybody can ever do to push me to make a decision before I'm ready to.
Kennedy isn't a U of I graduate. In fact, he's only visited the campus a few times. A son of the late Senator Robert Kennedy and president of the Kennedy family's Merchandise Mart properties, the new chairman says it's not necessary to be a U of I alum to understand its importance to the state. Kennedy's fellow trustees include a former mayor and state legislator, an attorney, a doctor, the president of an art museum, and a former energy executive. The board also includes three holdovers: Ed McMillan, whom Governor Quinn reappointed, and James Montgomery and Francis Carroll, who both refused the governor's call to step down. Carroll opened the meeting by thanking Quinn for not firing her and Montgomery. Now the most senior trustee, Carroll says she's received a warm welcome from the new members of the board.
They seem to be very receptive of what I have to say and I have to offer as a trustee with 6 years experience. And I see that we'll move forward much faster, I feel, by everybody listening to each other.
The next big question for the board is the future of President White and Urbana Chancellor Herman. Trustee Ed McMillan says he expects a decision by this fall.
We meet again in November, and I believe that the process will get us to a specific direction going forward by that meeting.
The trustees can expect some advice from the Urbana Academic Senate when it holds a special meeting Monday. The only item on the agenda, a resolution recommending that White and Herman eventually step down. The outgoing chair of the Senate's Executive Committee, Nick Brabulis, calls Monday's vote the most important vote that it will probably ever take in its history. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
In the 8 years since the 9/11 attacks, security at the nation's airports has become much more stringent, as any airline passenger can attest. The technology to screen passengers is more advanced as well. Still, you may wonder just how secure the airports are. So did NPR's Brian Naylor.
By now, the routine has become mind-numbingly familiar. Take off your shoes, put them in the gray plastic container, along with your toiletries, no more than 3 3-ounce bottles in a 1-quart plastic bag, please. Take out your laptop, etc., etc. It's a scene played out millions of times a day in the nation's airports.
So they walk up with their carry-on bags. It'll go through the X-ray. This is the advanced technology X-ray here.
Robin Kane is head of security technology at the Transportation Security Administration, the TSA. He's standing in front of a security checkpoint at Ronald Reagan Washington National Airport. If not a showcase, it's certainly one of the nation's better equipped airports, security-wise. It has the latest in explosives detecting luggage X-rays and something called a millimeter wave whole body imager. It produces an image of each traveler that leaves little to the imagination. A TSA employee who cannot see the passenger checks for what Kane calls anomalies.
Like if I carry my wallet, it's going to pick up my wallet. But what they can do is then communicate back to that operator here at the machine and say, this person has something on their left, right pocket of their pants. And we can do a very targeted search now to say, okay, yes, can you show me what's in your pocket? Yes, it's a wallet.
All the machinery at the checkpoints is just the tip of the iceberg of what the TSA says is a 20-layered approach to security. But critics of the airport screening process call all this security theater.
We have this 9/11 hangover that's been going on for 8 years, and we see it most poignantly there at the airport.
Patrick Smith is a commercial pilot who writes a blog called Ask the Pilot on Salon.com. He says much of what occurs at airline checkpoints is needless.
We're wasting immense amounts of time and manpower searching through people's bags for little knives and pointy objects and taking harmless liquids away from people. That doesn't make us safer.
Smith says there should be less emphasis on looking for sharp objects. Since the advent of secure cockpit doors inside jetliners, they don't pose much of a threat anyways. Instead, emphasis should be placed on explosives detection. Democratic Congressman Peter DeFazio, who sponsored legislation to make TSA screeners federal employees, says he feels airports need to beef up security in another area, at what he calls the back of the airport, where maintenance personnel have unfettered access to planes.
Everybody accessing the secure area of the airport, whether it was the terminal or the tarmac, would have to go through a screening. I mean, mechanics, everybody goes through that system every time.
But DeFazio defends the TSA. He says screening has improved dramatically in recent years. The government has spent some $45 billion since 9/11 on aviation security. One step DeFazio says remains to be taken is appointment of a permanent administrator for the TSA, which the Obama administration has yet to do. Brian Naylor, NPR News, Washington.
Former Chicago Bulls star Michael Jordan takes his place in the Basketball Hall of Fame this evening in Springfield, Massachusetts. Ahmad Omar reports, although he's been retired for 8 years, Jordan's legacy still affects the game today.
The Chicago Bulls play their home games here at the United Center on the city's west side. Outside of one of the arena's main entrances, there's a massive statue of Michael Jordan. On the front, it says simply, "The best there ever was, the best there ever will be." You won't find too many people out here in Chicago that disagree with that statement. I catch Al Perry of Des Plaines, Illinois, snapping a picture of the statue with a disposable camera.
Well, Michael Jordan was a popular person, and I really liked him a lot. I'm a good fan of his.
What did you like about him?
His talent, the way he played. You know, he's just all-around, all-star player. He was great.
And it's not just ordinary fans like Al Perry who've been singing Jordan's praises ahead of his Hall of Fame induction today. Other basketball greats are also giving him his due.
This is unbelievable. All of us in Chicago are excited and happy that we get the opportunity to see probably the greatest player in our time be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
That's NBA superstar Dwayne Wade. He plays for the Miami Heat, and he's considered one of the best players in the game today. Wade grew up in Robbins, Illinois, in Chicago's south suburbs. Watching Wade play, it's easy to see that he modeled his game after Jordan. That's something Wade freely admits.
Just like a lot of us did. When Michael did something, I went to his gym and tried to do it, or I went outside my backyard and tried to do it because he was the best. And if you want to be good at something, why not imitate the best?
Wade notes Jordan's actions off the court are just as influential as those on it. He calls Jordan a trailblazer for the athletic endorsements and sponsorships that are so commonplace these days.
You know, he was the first basketball icon, model, pitchman, and to really, really do it on a major scale. And so the things that we're doing now, we're just following the blueprint of what Michael laid down.
Jordan's endorsement portfolio includes high-profile deals with Nike, McDonald's, Gatorade, Hanes, and a slew of other companies. And his appearance in the movie Space Jam helped him cross over even more. Of course, endorsements aside, it was Jordan's exploits on the court that made him famous, and shots like this playoff buzzer beater over Cavs guard Craig Elo that made him legendary.
The inbounds pass comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win it!
Jordan's career included 2 Olympic gold medals, 5 Most Valuable Player awards, and, of course, 6 NBA championships, the last of which was secured in dramatic fashion. Jordan locked up that title by leading a late comeback against the Utah Jazz in 1998.
Jordan, open! Chicago with the lead! Timeout, Utah! 5.2 seconds left.
He's a killer.
I shoot! $10, 40 ISO.
Back at the United Center, I run into Charles Smith. He's been selling parking spots at the arena and its predecessor, Chicago Stadium, for 25 years. Today, it's a children's ice skating show.
$10, 40 ISO.
On that statue over there, it says Michael Jordan's the best there ever was and the best there ever will be. What do you think about that?
I believe they're right. They got it right.
What was your favorite memory about Jordan?
The 6 championships was pretty good with it.
Pretty good indeed. And now Jordan has 1 Hall of Fame induction to go along.
And that was Illinois Public Radio's Ahmad Omar.
Earth and sky.
You might know that trees help take carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. But do you know how much carbon that tree in your front yard is storing in its roots and branches? Greg McPherson says that's a question for the tree carbon calculator.
The tree carbon calculator makes it very simple and easy for you to quantify the carbon benefit of a tree.
McPherson, who directs the Center for Urban Forest Research in Davis, California, helped develop the Tree Carbon Calculator. It's an online tool that asks you to plug in just 3 pieces of information about your tree.
By just entering the climate region in which you live, the species of tree, and either its size or its age.
The calculator then estimates how much carbon dioxide has been stored in the tree over the past year and its entire lifetime.
A big, large oak tree, for example, have stored thousands of pounds of carbon. A small crabapple tree will not store anywhere near that amount.
If the tree shades and cools your house, a few more pieces of information could tell you how much energy your tree is saving you. For a link to the tool, visit our website. I'm Lindsay Patterson. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Radio Maria in downtown Champaign, now with a new dinner menu. Tapas served every evening until 2 a.m., along with lunch on Friday from 10:30 to 2:30, and brunch on Saturday and Sunday. Information on menus, wine, and beer lists is at RadioMariaRestaurant.com. The World from PRI is coming up in 3 minutes. Today, how President Obama puts his own stamp on U.S. policies that came out of the 9/11 attacks. Europe scrambles to save the Atlantic bluefin tuna from extinction. And imagine if your first day of work at Lehman Brothers was the day it crashed and kicked off the global economic crisis. One man tells his story today on The World, coming up at 3 o'clock. Our forecast from Mike Sola for the rest of the afternoon, mostly sunny, the high of 82, east winds at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Maybe a little patchy fog forming after midnight tonight, otherwise a clear sky and a low of 59, east to northeast winds at 4 to 8 miles an hour. And for tomorrow in Champaign-Urbana, mostly sunny and a high of 81, east to northeast winds at 5 to 10. Tomorrow night, mostly clear and 57. Sunshine for the rest of the forecast period. The weekend looking pretty perfect, mostly sunny, the high 81 on Sunday. Clear to partly cloudy and 60.